Midstream, the eventful story of a man and a woman who have reached the halfway point in their journey across the river of life. Before we learn what's happening in Midstream today, I'm sure all of you will agree that never is a long time. Yet I'm firmly convinced that you'll never go back to old-fashioned toothpaste and powders after the first time you brush your teeth with Teel, spelled T-E-E-L. So if you have as yet to try this sensational discovery, I urge you to do so for a thrilling experience. You see, Teel is not a paste, not a powder, but a revolutionary liquid with beauty in every drop. It's unlike anything you've ever used in its amazing formula. Teel cleans teeth in a startling new manner, and in this way helps reveal the natural brilliance of teeth. Contains no pumice, no grit, no abrasives of any kind. Can't possibly scratch tooth enamel. Teel is also guaranteed to be free of harmful chemicals or bleach. It uses a newly found patented dental cleansing agent, vastly different from old-fashioned cleansers, in the way it helps remove dingy film which collects daily on the teeth. And you know how much brighter and whiter and more beautiful teeth look when they're properly cleaned. So don't wait another day to enjoy the wonders of this new liquid dentifrice. Get Teel from drug department or 10-cent store. It's been tested and approved by Good Housekeeping Bureau. And I'll promise you that you'll never want to use toothpaste or powders again once you've tried this sensational liquid dentifrice marvel. Midstream, where the currents of life are swiftest, where the problems of life are greatest, and where the temptations of life are strongest. This is the story of Charles and Julia Meredith, who have reached the halfway mark between the distant shores of birth and death. It's almost 3 years now since Charles and Julia Meredith's daughter Midge married young Alan Conway, and during that time the Meredith family has known no lasting peace, no real unity. But now they're on the verge of being reunited in the old Meredith house. A short time ago, Julia returned to her husband and son. And a few days later, Midge appeared to announce that Alan was going away on a business trip and that her adopted daughter, Joy, had been left in the care of the Conway family. It was then that Charles invited her to come home, and Midge accepted the invitation. And now it's the following morning. Alan is driving Midge to the Meredith house.
Alan, you're sure you closed all the windows before we left?
Yes, I'm sure.
Well, I disconnected the refrigerator. Oh, did you call the milkman?
I thought you attended to that.
Oh, good heavens, we'll have 3 weeks of sour milk standing in front of the door when we get home.
Well, you can call him from your family's house.
Oh, that's right, of course.
There's nothing to prevent your going over to the house every once in a while and seeing that everything's all right.
No. No, I don't think I'll do that.
You don't want any unpleasant reminders. Is that it, Midge?
Alan, you're not being fair.
Well, isn't that true?
Not exactly. You yourself believe it'll do us all a lot of good to take a vacation from each other.
What makes you think that?
Have you invited me to go with you on this trip to Denver?
You would have wanted me to?
Well, I...
Oh, I know that you're thankful of this chance to be relieved of Joy and me.
It's been a difficult year, Alan. We haven't made a go of it. We've all three been miserable. Perhaps your having to go away like this will help. It'll give us a chance to think things out. And then when we're back together again...
Well, when we're back together again, nothing will have changed.
Why do you say that?
Because you won't have changed.
Meaning that I'm to blame for all our trouble.
Yes. Your unreasonableness. Your refusal to cooperate.
Oh, Alan.
I had fresh evidence of that only this week.
I suppose you mean because I wouldn't live with your mother while you're away.
Yes. That was entirely unreasonable.
I wouldn't have been happy there. And neither would Joy, and neither would your mother. It wouldn't have worked at all.
If you had tried to make it work, it would have.
Oh, Alan, please, dear, let's not do this. Let's not quarrel these last few minutes.
I have no desire to quarrel.
Do you think you'll be back within 3 weeks?
Well, if I find that Denver's as good a territory as we think it is, I may stay out there and supervise things until the new office gets underway.
Oh, I see.
Well, Midge, here we are. If you'll climb out, I'll get your bags.
All right. I can take the little one.
No, it's all right. I have them.
They're not too heavy.
No. Come on, Midge. If you don't mind, I won't stop in. I want to make it in 2 days' driving, if possible.
Well, then just set the bags here on the porch and go on. Bertha will help me with them.
Well, all right, I will. There you are.
Thanks.
Well, Midge.
Goodbye, Ellen.
Take care of yourself.
I will.
And don't forget to go over and see Joy occasionally.
No, I won't forget.
I'll write you as soon as I get out there.
Yes, Ellen, do.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, Ellen.
Oh, Midge.
Yes, Ellen, what is it?
Don't forget to call the dairy. Tell them to stop leaving milk until further notice.
Don't worry, I'll call them as soon as I get in.
Goodbye, Midge.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Ellen. It's funny. I wonder where they are. Mother. Oh, Mother. They can't still be asleep. Well, if they are, this'll wake them. Hey, in there! Hey!
Want me to break it down for you?
What?
I asked if you wanted me to break it down for you. The door.
Oh. No, thanks. I'm doing pretty well myself, don't you think?
You could do better. You're not being scientific about it.
Really?
There are ways and ways of breaking down doors, but there's only one right way.
Have you broken many down?
Any number of them. I'm considered an authority.
Then what would you advise?
Well, in the first place, never use your fist. It hurts.
Yes, I found that out.
Use a battering ram. It's quick and practical.
We don't seem to have any handy.
That's an obstacle, I admit.
Of course, we could chop down one of those trees out there.
If we had an axe.
Or we might even wait until someone comes along with a key.
I hadn't thought of that.
It's not quite so quick, but it's pretty practical. In fact, I think that's just what I'll do.
You don't mind if I join you?
Not at all.
Thanks.
Look, I don't want to be rude, but who are you? And how do you happen to be on my father's front porch?
Well, I don't think that's rude. I think it's a perfectly natural question.
Well, then would you consider answering it?
Why, yes. I'm on your father's front porch because I'm looking for somebody who lives in your father's house.
My father, for instance?
No, I don't think so. He's a little too young for that.
Maybe my brother.
Is his name David Meredith?
Yes.
Then he's the one.
And what do you want with him?
My niece.
Say that again.
It's not as complicated as it sounds. You see, I'm really looking for my niece, but my sister-in-law told me she was probably with your brother.
Well, I think that's terribly complicated. Who is your niece?
Her name's Virginia Story.
What?
Virginia Story.
Oh, good heavens.
What's the matter?
You're he.
Who?
You're Virginia's uncle. You're Timothy Story.
Right.
You're the anthropologist.
Wrong. Archaeologist.
Oh, that's what I meant.
It isn't the same thing, you know.
Oh, but you haven't horn-rimmed glasses at all.
That's true.
And you haven't even a high, squeaky voice.
Who said I had?
I did.
You?
Mr. Story, I owe you all sorts of apologies.
Really?
I said the horriblest things about you, things that weren't true at all. You see, David told me yesterday that you were coming, and he was all excited about it.
Your brother was?
Yes. Virginia told him about you. About all the things you'd done and the books you'd written and everything. David was so eager to meet you, and... Well, I told him you'd probably be a big disappointment.
Now, that wasn't nice.
I know it wasn't. But how was I to guess? I never thought an archaeologist who gave lectures would be like...
Like what?
Well, like you.
I see. So you knew all about me in advance, did you?
Yes.
Well, that's where you have an advantage over me. We've been talking for 10 minutes, and I still don't know anything about you.
Well, I told you. I'm David's sister, and I'm Charles Meredith's daughter. And my name is Midge.
Midge, huh? Anything else I ought to know about you?
Well, I can't think of anything.
Do you live here, in this house?
Well, I'm going to for a while.
Splendid.
How long will you be staying with your brother and his family?
Well, I hadn't decided, but it's beginning to look as though it might be a good long time.
Oh, that's nice. You're taking a vacation, aren't you?
Yes. I've been puttering around down in Mexico for a year or so.
Digging things?
Yes, digging things. Aztec things, in fact.
Oh, Aztec. I remember them from high school. An ancient and highly developed civilization.
Right.
Conquered by Cortez in the 16th century.
Good for you.
They had a god with a funny name.
Quetzalcoatl.
Oh, yes, dear old Quetzalcoatl. I haven't thought of him for such a long time.
I dream of him every night.
Do you really? How awful.
Well, much as I hate to, I suppose I'd better continue my search for Virginia.
Yes, or Mrs. Story will be sending someone out to search for you.
I'll come back, though.
Oh, please do. Maybe by then Mother will be home and I can even entertain you in the living room.
You can entertain me any place, any time, Miss Meredith. Goodbye.
Oh, Mr. Story, wait.
What's the matter?
It isn't Miss Meredith.
No?
It's Mrs. Conway.
Mrs. Conway?
Yes.
Oh, Mrs. Conway.
And so ends the first meeting between Midge Conway and Timothy Story. But one thing is certain, there are to be other such meetings, for obviously these two are interested in each other from the start. What would happen if that interest were to grow too great? More about Midstream in a moment. And now, Mrs. E.C. Black of Monaca, Pennsylvania writes, quote, I want to tell you how thrilled the entire family is with your new discovery, teal. Even my children think it's fun to brush their teeth now, unquote. Yes, teal makes brushing teeth a real pleasure. And the way it cleans and so beautifies teeth is truly remarkable. Equally amazing, you'll find teal surprisingly economical. All you do is pour a few drops on your toothbrush, and because teal is a slightly thickened liquid, these drops will not roll off. There's no mess, no waste. So get teal at once from your drug department or 10-cent store and start brushing your teeth with this new liquid dentifrice sensation, which has caused thousands of people to lay aside toothpaste and powders. And don't forget to visit your dentist regularly for checkup and his professional advice. With this proper new day care, see how much more beautiful your teeth look. Midstream is brought to you by Procter & Gamble, makers of Teal, the revolutionary new liquid dentifrice every day except Saturday and Sunday at this same time. Midge Conway has come home to her family, and Timothy's Story has come to visit in the house up the street. What will be the consequences of these facts in the lives of Midge and of her parents, Charles and Julia Meredith? Be sure to listen tomorrow. Until then, this is Gene Baker, your announcer, bidding you good afternoon.
Did you know that when permanent waves were first invented, they cost up to $150? But nowadays, they found ways to give them much cheaper and better. For example, shampooing with new special Dreen beforehand is a wonderful help. Because our scientific tests prove that hair washed with new special Dreen sparkles more, retains more elasticity, and requires less steaming time under the wave machine than soap washed hair. So insist on a special Dreen shampoo before your next permanent. This is the National Broadcasting Company.